During the partial government shutdown, we've seen photos of trash piling up inside national parks and heard stories of damage done to those parks and the amenities and ecosystems within them. My next guest says it's a mistake to keep the parks open during a shutdown. John Jarvis is a former director of the National Park Service. He's currently executive director for the Institute for Parks, People, and Biodiversity at UC Berkeley. I spoke with him via Skype and asked him about the balancing act of keeping public lands accessible to the public during a shutdown, while at the same time keeping those lands and their visitors safe.
Well, I was the director that made the decision to close them in 2013. And we looked back at the precedent from 1995 and the rationale that was used then, and we found that that rationale was just as sound then as it was in 13, that the responsibility of the managers, the stewardship of these places, is to think about the future, is that to our primary responsibility is to protect the resource and provide for safe visitor experience. And if we can't do that, then we're not achieving our mission. And the only way that we saw that we could do that was to close the parks entirely.
How closed were you able to actually get the parks? I mean, these are wide open spaces we're talking about. It's not like you can just, you know, close a gate and nobody can get in. I mean, did you find that people were still getting in even though they were officially closed?
Well, the national parks, a lot of the national parks tend to do have gates. They have entrance stations and limited points of entry. Now, obviously, there are some places like the National Mall or some of the battlefields in the east that are accessible from multiple points. And those were obviously difficult to just sort of physically close. But a lot of your big national parks like Yosemite and Yellowstone and others do actually have an entrance point. Or several entrance points, and we were able to close those completely. Of course, there were complications with some places with open highways and open access from waterways and others. And the enforcement was basically an education. It was to tell the public that the parks are closed, and we would like them to respect that.
We've been hearing stories about obviously, unfortunately, there are some people who have died at national parks during the shutdown. We hear about, you know, bathrooms being in kind of a disgusting state and, you know, the potential damage to rock formations and petroglyphs and things like that. How real a possibility is it that during the shutdown we could see real damage to these national parks that can't be undone?
Oh, I think it's quite real. In discussions I've had with a lot of folks out in the field that they are seeing this kind of damage. You know, some of it is inadvertent because the public are not being provided the basic information that they need in order to enjoy the park and also visit it in a manner that is respectful of the resource. So you just come in through the entrance point. You don't get any maps. You don't get any information. The visitor center is closed. And if you're a first-time visitor coming to these places, you're not really sure what you can and really shouldn't be doing. And, you know, under normal circumstances, if we were operational, we would have the staff to help the public and educate them and keep them from causing damages. But right now, you know, the vast majority of the employees are on furlough.
It's interesting because during the last government shutdown, national parks kind of became the face of the shutdown. You know, people were upset. They had trips planned. They wanted to go see these places and they couldn't. Is it possible, do you think, to sort of separate the parks out from politics during a time like this?
Well, yeah. I mean, the furloughing of and shutdown of the federal government, you know, really has nothing to do with the political issue that they're debating back in Washington around border security. And so the employees and, frankly, the gateway communities and the visitors are being used for political gain rather than, you know, just saying, you know, pass an appropriation for the Department of Interior, for the National Park Service, reopen these parks and let's get on with business.
So once the shutdown is over and the government reopens and all these National Park Service employees are back to work and getting paid again, what will they have to do when they first get back to the parks? I mean, do they have to sort of do an inventory as to what damage there is, what has to be cleaned up, what might have to be repaired?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be first step is to go out and clean up, you know, accumulated trash, toilets that have overflowed, sewage systems that are probably backed up. They would assess for damages to the physical facilities of the park, trails, trail bridges, buildings. I mean, in some of our big snow parks, you know, like Rainier or Olympic or Yosemite, Yellowstone, that get large snow loads, there could very well be significant damage to buildings from snow loading. And then, of course, the roads will have to be plowed. You know, places that have maybe deteriorated during this period from a safety standpoint, like an eroded trail or a damaged bridge, will have to be repaired. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of work necessary to just before they can't just, you know, flip the switch and say you're back open.
Do you have any measure of optimism that there will be the money to do those repairs? I mean, we hear so much about maintenance backlogs at national parks. Do you think these projects just get added on to that list?
They absolutely get added on. And on top of that, recently, the Department of Interior has ordered the parks to expend their fee money to do basic operations. And the fee money was sort of the money that's kind of your savings account at each park that you use to do that kind of maintenance backlog and repair. And if they burn through that from an operations standpoint, then it's going to be very difficult for them to catch up.
All right, that's John Jarvis. He's executive director at the Institute for Parks, People, and Biodiversity at UC Berkeley. He was also the 18th director of the National Park Service. John, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Those park rangers are among the estimated 800,000 federal workers who are missing their first paychecks today because of the shutdown. So is Justin Edinger. He works for the USDA Forest Service and has been serving as project manager of an ecological restoration project on the Lower Salt River. He recently took to Twitter to ask other federal workers to share their stories about how the shutdown is affecting them. He shared his with me earlier.
Today is a dose of reality, and I don't think, you know, my wife, I'm lucky to have a very beautiful and hardworking wife, and so, you know, one paycheck isn't going to do us in, but it certainly makes it feel a lot more real, and, you know, it gets scarier thinking about a second paycheck.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, if one paycheck fortunately, you know, doesn't do you in, I mean, is there a point at which, you know, it might start to get a little tighter than comfortable and you might have to start looking for another job or doing, you know, making cutbacks in your home budget, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the scenario that everybody's facing, you know. I think a lot of people out there, regardless of their income, tend to live kind of paycheck to paycheck these days. And so one paycheck makes you have to shuffle some things around and get creative. You know, you start getting into two paychecks or a month without pay, you got to start looking into some different situations and, you know.
What does you not having been at work for the last few weeks done to the project that you're working on?
Well, just like everything else, it's been on hold for 3 weeks.
Does that affect the kind of science that you're able to do and the kind of work that you're able to do? Does it affect the end outcome?
Not necessarily. Luckily, this project is the result of a collaboration between the Forest Service and Northern Arizona University, as well as state forestry. So, you know, we're hopeful that regardless of whether or not we can get back to work, that our other partners will be able to, you know, continue the project while we're furloughed.
Does this kind of thing make you rethink working for the federal government?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying for 4 years now to get in with a permanent position with the Forest Service. It's what I'm really passionate about. I got 2 degrees to do so. But, you know, certainly times like this make you question whether working so hard to do that is going to be worth it in the end.
Now, you posted a message on Twitter basically asking for workers like yourself, federal government employees, to share their stories. Am I right that you actually created your Twitter account for the purpose of doing this?
Yeah, that's true. I created it the day that I posted that. And so it hasn't exactly blown up. I think I only have about 10 followers. But, you know, obviously I've used other social media platforms. I've never really used Twitter and just didn't care to. But I think it's probably the best way to spread a message like this and give people the opportunity to share their story. And so I'd really like to see other federal workers do that. You know, I think all the people affected by the shutdown firsthand have sat by quietly for long enough, and there hasn't really been any progress now that we're on week 3 compared to day 1. So I think it's time that the people affected by the shutdown just kind of share their story and have the voice let Congress and our administration know that they're playing with real people's lives.
Justin Edinger works with the Forest Service and is project manager of an ecological restoration project on the Lower Salt River. He's among the estimated 800,000 federal workers on furlough and missing their first paychecks today because of the partial government shutdown.